Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael. Kane's Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. Today's guest from AT&T Park in San Francisco is Greg Papa from CSN Bay Area and 95.7 The Game. And Greg Papa joins us here at AT&T Park in San Francisco. The Giants taking on the Mets. And Greg, there are a lot of similarities with these two teams. They both have a lot of starting pitchers. They could, you know, easily go with a six-man rotation on each side. Both teams are in the race trying to hunt down the team in front of them, and they've been kind of playing mediocre baseball. So how do you look at this series?
Well, going into last night, Joe, they had the exact same record, 42-41, and the Mets won and the Giants lost, so they're separated by a game. I like the Giant lineup better. The Mets have had profound injuries, obviously losing David Wright, the captain of the face of the franchise, but his offensive game has slipped a little bit. I think when the Giants get Aoki back and they're getting Pence back tonight and they get Pagan completely healthy, I want to see the offense with those guys. So I think offensively the Giants are better. They don't have the starting pitching that the Mets have, and they don't have the bullpen that the Mets have, and that was the strength of this team. The Giant bullpen is struggling. When I look at the Mets' arms, I can't recall. You'd have to go back years to find young starting pitching like they have. And they're going to have to get a little more refined. Harvey's really good. And when he gets back a full year off Tommy John, he's got everything. Jacob DeGrom has surprisingly cut back on his walks. He's thrown a sinker more, and he's having a breakthrough year as an all-star. The other guy's got to learn how to pitch, Syndergaard and even Mats. And when they get Zach Wheeler back, but I think they're the envy of baseball. With those young arms, and there's so much conjecture about trading them, I don't know how you could. I mean, pitching is of the greatest asset in the sport still, and cheap labor, young, is the second greatest asset, maybe even more than pitching. And they've got both. They've got young pitchers that you can build a rotation around, and it's Billy Bean's theory. Yeah, they're not scoring. Well, it's the old zero sum. If we don't let them score, we need to score less. So, and I was talking to Sandy Alderson today on the radio, and I asked him point blank, you must toss and turn. How could you trade any of those young arms? I mean, this franchise had Nolan Ryan and Tom Seaver way back when. Ryan was in the bullpen. They wound up trading him. So I don't know how you could do it. They may have to eventually, but I think they have to look at what they have. So even though a lot of similarities, and the Giants have had a rich recent history, three World Series in 5 years, you got to like what the Mets have with that starting rotation and the back end of their bullpen. I think they're the envy of baseball, and if they can buy a hitter or two or make a trade to give up one of their veteran pitchers, not those five arms, including Zach Wheeler, I think they're going to be the team to beat in about 3 years, maybe even sooner.
Zach Wheeler, it's good you mentioned him, because I think the Giants still regret trading him. They ended up with Carlos Beltran for a short period of time, although, you know, he's been injured, and the Giants have plenty of pitching. Let's just say that. I mean, they definitely have plenty of guys here, but the question is, how good are they going to be? We've only seen Kane and Peavy that one start. What's going to happen now? It is very interesting when you've got Hudson and Lincecum on the DL right now.
Just have to watch. It's early July, and you're not going to make any decisions until later in the month, and maybe even past July 31st, and do it after the waivers period in August. Trades are made then. But I think, you know, that's why you did this. You needed to plug Kane and Peavy back in the rotation in early July to give them a full month, give them four or five starts, to really assess what you have. And I think the key thing, Joe, is going to be how do they reset the rotation coming out of the All-Star break. Hudson's throwing a bullpen as we speak. He could pitch probably tonight if he had to. What do you do with him? Do you leave him on the DL and not bring him back when you reset the rotation? Let's see what Peavy does. Let's see what Kane does. Vogelsong has been good, but he's had a couple of nights where he slipped as well. So they have pitching depth, so I don't think you add an arm, but I think you assess what you have. And they got so much payroll tied up in starting pitching. Add up the arms. I mean, Kane's at 20, Lincecum's what, 15, 16, 17, somewhere in there. Hudson a little bit below, Peavy's making 12. I mean, Bumgarner's a bargain, but add it up. It's a lot of money in pitching, so I don't know. And what are they going to give up to get more pitching? I think they just have to hope the pitchers pitch better. But I go back to the bullpen. Like last night's game, that was a game the Giants would win. Last year, the year before, when they were winning titles and making the postseason, that was, you know, tie game in the seventh, eighth inning, Giants going to win. Because you're not going to score on their bullpen, and eventually they're going to figure out a way. You're going to make a mistake. They're going to get a bloop. They're going to hit a bomb. They're going to do something. And they're going to win. I mean, how many times have they won 7th, 8th, 9th inning in a tie game? It's not happening now. The bullpen's just not pitching well, and it's your core four. Right now, Casilla can't get left. He's out. I've never liked Romo right on left. He can't throw the slider. So right now, you got a couple of main guys that can't get lefties out. So it sounds like Boch is going to match it up more like he did earlier in his career with San Diego. He was more left on left, right on right. I frankly would like to see them just give the ball to Hunter Strickland and just let him go. I mean, he may fall on his face. He may get Bryce Harper'd and balls may land in the cove and beyond. But let's see. Because it doesn't matter if it's a righty or a lefty. He's coming at you hard. And with that sinker on top of the slider and the 98-99 four-seamer, he's got plenty of ways to get you out. So I personally would like them just to let him go do it. Because I think at this stage of the month, you're taking inventory. You're seeing what you got with Peavy and Kane. You're getting Pence back. Let's see before we start adding and giving up minor league assets, what do we have? And I don't know what they have in Hunter Strickland. He could close, and then it would put Casilla in a less leverage role earlier in the game. Romo could be strictly right on right. Lopez left on light. Left, you get Affeldt back. Osich looks like a good, powerful left-handed arm that could be an asset. So at this stage of the month, I think you're just trying to see what you have, and if you've deemed later in the month we're lacking, and we know we're lacking in that area, then you go get it.
We'll have more with Greg Papa from 95.7 The Game and CSN Bay Area right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in Santa Fe. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
What you have right now is a lot of relievers that are leaking oil, it looks like, which really hasn't happened to the Giants in this recent run. And you have mental mistakes that good baseball teams usually don't make. And we've seen a lot of them on the bases. We've seen Angel Pagan with an unforgivable mistake there at second. We've seen Brandon Belt not covering first for some reason. Just weird things. A pickoff throw to first, nobody's covering. I mean, Bruce Bochy has to be pulling his hair out about that. And even just feeling like the umpires aren't giving him a fair shake. And everybody can complain about that. But it seemed like on the recent road trip, there were a lot of strange balls and strikes calls.
There were, and it culminated with Sunday night in Phil Cuzzy. As far as the mental lapses, they're just making too many on the bases. And I honestly, and it's not just because I'm working with them, but I think they missed Tim Flannery. And I think not just in the game, but before the game, the preparation, if you're around him and know him, he's just constantly preparing and grinding for that night's endeavor, whether it's coaching third, playing third, doing a concert, coming on TV with me. It's just the way he is. And right. When you're around him, you're mentally sharp. You better be on your game. So I think just not having him around, there's just a little bit of a lackadaisical approach, and they're making silly errors, not just on this road trip. Gregor Blanco, earlier in the year, you're down 3-4 runs in the ninth. He tries to steal third. The running is meaningless. He does not slide. It's like, what are we doing here? Can anybody here play this game? It's like Casey Stengel with the 62 Mets. It was amazing. So, and you're seeing a lot of just tired, fatigue mistakes where they're not playing alertly. And I think a lot of it was a product of the last road trip, which was about as crazy as I've seen for start time, starting with that Thursday game, the morning game when Kane came back on July 2nd. I never seen, four different start times. You had the earliest possible start time one day in Florida at 11 in the morning there, not in Washington, 11 in the morning, then the latest possible start time you could have at 8 o'clock at night. So it was just crazy, and I think they got tired. And flying the day of a game, that's common in basketball. Did it for years. I never could recall a team flying on the day of a game in baseball. And flying 3,000 miles in 6 hours, landing at 1 o'clock, and then go play that night, it's just, it's amazing they were even in the game. So I think that a lot of it is just alertness. I think the All-Star break's about a week too late. They probably could have needed it right when they got off this trip, but it is what it is, and they'll grind through it. But, this team, they can look so bad at one moment, and then they start to click, and they are the defending champion. So I would never write them off. I hear so many people saying what they can't do, but I'll never be one of them because I've seen them do it.
Speaking of the All-Star break, the Giants have four All-Stars, including first-timers Brandon Crawford and Joe Panik up the middle. Now, the last time the Giants had a double play combination at the All-Star game, it was Jeff Kent and your partner Rich Aurelia on CSN, and that was quite a combo. It really is fun to watch. When you see two guys like this that are going to the All-Star game that can be wizards up the middle defensively and having really good seasons at the plate, I think that it's special for a team, and it kind of it gets lost in everything when you think about Buster Posey and Bumgarner and all these names. But those two guys are a real big key, I think. What do you think?
Go back to Game 7 of the World Series. I mean, if they can play in the All-Star game based on that one play. I mean, Game 7 of the World Series, the double play they turned. And in Canada, really, were amazing. But they were more offensive players. They were power, middle-of-the-order hitters. Richie hit two that year. Bonds hit three. And I think Ken hit four. I mean, they were middle-of-the-order thumpers. And they were serviceable defensive players. These guys play on both sides of the ball. Crawford, he's began to slow down like he typically does this time of the year. I'd like to see them rest him a little bit more. But he's had a solid year, by far his best. In panic, I just can't remember a player making so much advancements in one calendar year. I mean, I go back to last year at this time. We were trying to talk Chase Utley out of his 10-5 rights and taking a trade here. Remember that? And, you know,
yeah.
And then right after the day of the deadline, on the 31st of July, the Giants were in New York, played the Mets on a wrapper on Monday series in August 1st, and he went crazy, panic. And ever since then, he's just, a calm came over him. Look at how well he played the last 2 months through October. Started a little slow this year. Remember the bad spring training he had? He got off to a little, I think he was 2-for-21. But with his flat swing, he's going to be immune to long slumps, I think. But the season wears you down, and I think he needed a little time off last night. But I Crawford, it's great that he's made it. But we all kind of thought with his flashy defensive skills and his surprising, he's such a thick-legged shortstop that he had power to drive the ball. And one day he could sneak in there, but panic. To make it, Joe, in his first full year, it's amazing. And then we take Bumgarner for granted. Now, he's never pitched in the All-Star game.
Yeah, he hasn't pitched
in any game. And I've been saying this for about 6 weeks. Because to me, the All-Star game is not just what you did the first half of this season. It's your overall body of work, who you are. Bumgarner's never pitched in an All-Star game. And he owned October. You know, April, May, and June are cool. But October is the deal.
Right.
And he owned it. And I would love to see Bruce Bochy start him in the All-Star game. And I don't care about Max Scherzer and Garrett Cole and Zach Greinke and whoever else. But you didn't do what he did in October. He's Madison Bumgarner. So, Bochy kind of backed off on how many guys he took. He could have taken a few more. But the one move I think he still has to make that I would like to see is to pick his guy to start the All-Star game. Now, the worry I have is he's not great in the first inning, and teams typically ambush him, but that's okay. I would just like to see him start the All-Star game.
More with Greg Papa in just a moment. Inside China Basin is sponsored by Angel Borelli, a nationally known expert on pitching mechanics from right here in the Bay Area. She works with some of the best pitchers in the Bay Area, troubleshooting and solving their performance issues. Listen to Angel Borelli's weekly podcast, The Fix, which discusses issues and solutions for pitchers from a sports science perspective, and get a weekly tip on pitching at Angel Borelli Pitching on Facebook. Check out our website, jimscience.com, where you can order her books and other publications. Contact Angel Borelli today. Another thing that came up on your post game after the Buster Posey foul ball that hit him on the chin, Rich Aurelia came out strongly talking about how maybe Posey should be moved out of the catcher spot. Now, I don't know when that will happen or if that'll happen, but I did have Posey's agent on the podcast, Jeff Berry, and he said that when you're in the moment, you really don't consider that because in the moment, Posey's one of the better catchers in the game, so he's not ready for that move. But, you know, we are seeing a little more of Susak behind the plate and a little more of Posey playing first, and that's mainly because the Giants need Belt to go out in the left field every once in a while. But do you see that happening maybe a little more in the second half, you know, give Buster more breaks?
This is something that's been talked about since he was drafted, and because he played shortstop at Florida State, you know, they want to move him all over the diamond. I never saw that. The special skill he has is as an offensive player behind the plate, and those players are rare. First base, there's a lot of guys that can hit the ball at first base. So if you put him at first base, he's just a guy. Now, he's a good guy. He's a good hitter. Don't get me wrong. I'm not giving him away. But Arizona has Goldschmidt. The Dodgers have Adrian Gonzalez. I could go on and on. The best hitters in baseball play first base. So if you want to maximize the offensive production, I've been resistant. What makes him special is to catch. And also, you know, they give me reams of data about how he hits better when he's at first as opposed to catching.
Right.
I've yet to see data about how the Giants pitch when he's catching versus when he's not catching. And it's not just ERA and easily quantifiable numbers. Just watch. And Susak's a good catcher, but he's not nearly there. And Buster wasn't there. When he first came up, he wasn't Benji Molina. But over time, he's gotten really good. And is there any coincidence that he doesn't have an extra base hit the entire month of October and they still win the damn World Series again? So you can't quantify the contributions he makes just as a hitter, whether he's at first or catch. The baseball team functions at its best when he's catching. Now, the decision this organization has got to make, and it's not quite to the level of Willie McCovey or Orlando Cepeda, but the thing that I go through every day is Susak or Belt. And up until the injury to Aoki, you couldn't have both. It was one or the other. There's some matchups I want Susak in. There's some matchups I want Belt in. I still think for the here and now, 2015, the best team they put out is Posey catching, Belt at first. But there's going to be a time where Susak needs to catch more. And, you know, you look at it, Buster's not in tonight. Since he took that foul tip, he caught Madison Bumgarner a start, but he hasn't made that many starts behind the plate. It's almost that he's catching Bumgarner only, maybe one other. So you're looking at it, you know, a five-man rotation, Susak's catching three, Buster's catching two. So you've almost gone there anyway. But so the point I'm making is when you get Aoki back, you're going to have to make a call with your lineup. And I think for now, still Buster, if you get to October, I want Buster catching every inning and Belt playing first. That's your best team. But as time goes on, this organization is going to have to make a call between Belt and Susak. And the one thing about Belt this year, Joe, he's not had a little bit of an injury early. Remember the Arizona hamstring injury, but he's been largely healthy. And let's just see what he puts up. I mean, first base in this league, you got to put up numbers. I know AT&T's hard and JT struggled here, but you got to put up numbers. So let's just see where he's at and then reassess it in the offseason. But I think ultimately Susak's good enough where you have to make the call and maybe you have to trade Brandon Belt and try to get a young pitcher. Maybe the Mets would. No, they got Lucas Duda trying to figure out a way to get Matt Harvey. We won't do that, though. Huh?
As we finish up, a couple of things to follow up on that. I thought Curt Schilling made a great point on Sunday Night Baseball about Susak, and I think Susak's going to be a great catcher, but he is new, and tempo is important to pitchers. And, you know, it was hard for Ryan Vogelsong to kind of get on the same page with him. So, you know, that's part of it, I think, as far as Susak is concerned. And the other thing is that Jeff Berry, again referring to Posey's agent, said that Posey doesn't get enough credit as a catcher. People always look at the offensive numbers, but he's kind of underrated in a lot of ways as a catcher. What do you think?
Yeah, and he's gotten better. Remember when he first came here at Florida State, he didn't call any pitches. He looked into the dugout. And I remember initially he struggled a little bit, framing balls, turning his glove the wrong angle. He was not Benji Molina. And when you saw Benji catch and then you saw Buster catch, there was a huge difference. I'd like to pull up video of Buster, you know, going back to 2010, 2011 even. They won the World Series in 10, so maybe, you know, July, August of 10, and just watch how he catches. He's so much better now. And you know what he's great at, Joe? The rap on him always was he's not a video guy. He doesn't like to watch a lot of video. And I believe I watch more video than anybody. But when the game starts, you stop with all that. And you have to have the ability to watch the game being played right here, right now. And I see it with quarterbacks in the NFL. They played the game on Wednesday. You know what? They're not running the same defense this week they did last week. Adjust. Figure it out. And that's where Buster's genius is. Watch him watch. He always gives the signs exceedingly late, especially on the road, because he's worried in certain ballparks that they're stealing signs. But just watch him watch the hitter. He's always looking at their feet. He's looking at their hands. He does it as a hitter as well. It's a cat and mouse game. It's a poker game. You know, why was he late on that fastball? Was he sitting soft? So maybe we just won't give him soft. We're going to give him fastballs and blow him away. Why was he so late on that fastball? At first pitch, he was way late. Barry fouled it off opposite field, way late. He's just really good at watching the game. And I think those are, again, aspects of you can't, you know, the ERA and what the is when he catches, you could, some of it's quantifiable, but you really have to be around it, pitching to him, knowing everything. But I think his genius is the ability to read the game being played that night. He does it as a hitter and he does it as a catcher. So I think there'll be a day when he goes over there. And when he takes a foul tip like the other night, you know, I pulled out the rosary beads for him. I really did. I mean, I thought this could be it. I mean, you're thinking Mike Matheny. Well, how would that be if you lost this great offensive player out of the innocuous foul ball? I mean, it's not like Ray Fossey getting rolled. No, you know, that was a bad play because of the All-Star game, but it's just, it's not right. But, you know, how do you get to protect him? It's like your kids. You got to let him go and take the training wheels off. He can get hurt at first. He can get hurt running the bases. I mean, he can get hurt. So, but he's still a really good catcher, and I think the baseball team functions at its best when Buster's catching.
Greg, thanks so much for the time. Really enjoy your work on CSN, 95.7 The Game, and, of course, Touchdown Raiders. Thanks.
Yeah, I got to get back in that business soon, huh?
Yeah, you got to do it. You know, I have to do it with a lot more enthusiasm if I'm going to imitate it someday. Thanks, Craig.
Training camp in July. Remember we had that time in July? We had wine tasting together.
That's right. We got to do that again.
You got to come up with me.
Thanks. That's Greg Papa from CSN Bay Area and 95.7 The Game at AT&T Park in San Francisco. Join us again on Friday at the ballpark in the clubhouse. We'll hear from Brandon Crawford, the Giants' all-star shortstop. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.